This article is brought to you by the best-selling books they write every time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to sustain team synergy during leadership transitions and restructuring. Keep your team working as one when everything around them is changing. In short, after reading this, you will be able to protect and sustain team synergy when leadership changes and restructuring threaten to pull your team apart. Communicate before uncertainty takes hold and rumour fills the gap. Protect the working relationships that already give your team its strength. Rebuild shared purpose around what stays constant, not just what is changing. Definition: team synergy is the combined effectiveness of a group working together, where the collective output exceeds what individuals could produce alone. It depends on trust, clear communication, and shared purpose. During leadership transitions, it is the quality most at risk and the most worth protecting. A new director arrived on a Monday. By Friday, three of the most effective collaborators on the team had stopped sharing information with each other. Nobody had told them to. Nobody had been hostile. But the old leader knew how to keep them connected, and the new one had not yet learned how. The team synergy had not been broken by conflict. It had been quietly starved by silence. This is how most transitions damage teams. It is not malice. It is not incompetence. It is the absence of deliberate effort to sustain what took years to build. People feel the ground shift, and they instinctively contract. They wait to see who is safe to trust, which priorities still hold, and whether their place in the team is secure. Here is the truth of it: team synergy is not self-sustaining. It requires tending. Under normal conditions, it runs on momentum. During transitions, that momentum breaks unless someone takes responsibility for maintaining it. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for sustaining team synergy that you can apply immediately. Why team synergy is harder to sustain than it looks. Knowing the team cohesion matters during change is not the same as knowing how to protect it. Most leaders understand the importance of keeping their team connected. Most still watch the collaboration slowly unravel. Here is why it is genuinely hard. Uncertainty triggers self-protection. When people do not know what is changing or how it affects them, they pull inward. Collaboration requires a degree of vulnerability, and uncertainty makes that feel dangerous. Sharing ideas, asking for help, taking interpersonal risks, all of these slow down when people feel unsettled. The informal structures disappear overnight. Teams develop invisible rhythms: who talks to whom, which conversations happen informally, who smooths tension before it becomes conflict. These structures are not written down anywhere. When leadership changes, they often vanish before anyone notices they were there. New leaders inherit a team they did not build. A leader who was not present when the group's norms developed has to learn them from scratch. Until they do, they can accidentally disrupt the working patterns that hold the team together. Role ambiguity fractures contribution. When restructuring changes who does what, people hesitate. They wait for clarity before committing. During that waiting period, the collaborative momentum grinds to a halt. Communication about change is almost always too late. By the time official announcements come, informal networks have already been spreading incomplete information for weeks. Trust in leadership erodes, and with it, trust between team members. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, someone owns the transition. Every leadership change needs one person who takes explicit responsibility for the team's relational health, not just the operational handover. This is not automatically the incoming leader. It could be a senior team member, an outgoing leader, or a designated transition partner. Without this ownership, the human side of change gets nobody's full attention. Number two, the team's current state is known. Before you can protect team synergy, you need an honest read of where it stands. Which relationships are strong? Where is there existing tension? Who are the informal connectors that others rely on? This is not a formal audit. It is a series of honest conversations held before the transition takes effect. Number three, a communication plan exists before announcements go out. Not a corporate memo. A real plan: who hears what, in what order, through what channel, with what opportunity to ask questions. Teams survive change far better when they feel informed rather than managed. Get this right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Communicate before the rumour does. The single fastest way to destroy team synergy during a transition is to let uncertainty sit in silence, while informal networks fill the void with speculation. When people do not have information, they create it. And the information they create is almost always more alarming than the truth. By the time official communication arrives, the team has already been operating on fear for weeks. Your job is to get ahead of that. Announce the transition as early as it is honest to do so, even if all the details are not yet finalized. Be specific about what you know, clear about what you do not know yet, and direct about when you will provide updates. Communicate through conversation, not just email. People trust what they hear in dialogue far more than what they read in a broadcast. Identify the informal communicators on your team and ensure they are informed first, not last. Set a regular update rhythm from day one, brief, consistent, and honest. Here is what that first communication might sound like. I want to talk to you about what is changing and what I know so far. Some things are still being worked through, and I will tell you honestly when that is the case. What I can commit to is this: you will not find out anything important through the grapevine before you hear it from me. That kind of directness builds trust quickly. It signals respect, and it gives people the ground they need to stay engaged rather than retreat into self-protection. After this step, your team knows what to expect and from whom. That clarity alone will preserve more collaborative energy than most leaders realize. Step 2. Map and protect the working relationships that matter. Not all relationships on a team carry equal weight. Some people are the invisible connective tissue they translate between functions, smooth friction, and carry the shared memory of how things actually get done. When those relationships are disrupted by restructuring, the team's collaborative capacity drops sharply, often before anyone understands why. Your job is to identify those relationships before the transition and take deliberate steps to preserve them. In the 2 weeks before or immediately after a transition, list the 5 or 6 working partnerships on your team that do the most to keep collaboration flowing. Have an honest conversation with each person involved about what they need to keep those partnerships functional under new conditions. Where restructuring changes reporting lines of physical proximity, create deliberate connection points to replace what was lost informally. Make sure the incoming leader understands who these connectors are and why they matter, so they do not inadvertently sideline them. Check in on these relationships at the 30-day mark to see whether they're holding. This step sounds relational because it is. It is also entirely practical. The collaborative output of a team depends on these bonds more than on any org chart. Protect them like the assets they are. When you move into the next step, you're building on this foundation of preserved relationships. For a deeper look at rebuilding connections when things have already started to break down, how to rebuild team synergy after conflict or organizational change offers a structured approach worth reading alongside this one. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Give the team a shared focus that transcends the change. One of the most reliable ways to sustain team synergy through disruption is to anchor the team to a purpose. It does not depend on who is leading or what the structure looks like. When the thing that holds people together is a person or a process, it is fragile. When it is a shared goal or a set of values the team genuinely owns, it survives change far better. Within the first 2 weeks of any transition, hold a focused team conversation about what remains constant shared goals, values, and commitments that belong to the group, not to any individual leader. Frame this conversation around contribution, not reassurance. Ask the team, what are we here to do together? And what does doing it well require from each of us right now? Identify one near-term collective goal that the team can work toward during the transition period. Shared action rebuilds trust faster than shared conversation. Write down the agreed commitments and make them visible. Not as a corporate values poster, as a working reference the team actually uses. Revisit this shared focus at the 4-week mark and adjust it if circumstances have shifted. Here is how one team leader put it during a difficult merger period. I told the team the name on the building might change, but the reason we come to work and what we're good at together, that belongs to us. Let's not lose that while the paperwork gets sorted. Simple. Direct. It gave the team something to stand on while the ground was moving. When people are connected to a shared purpose, they are far less likely to retreat into individual survival mode. That shared focus becomes the soil in which team synergy can keep growing. You can find practical frameworks for protecting that shared purpose and how leaders foster a culture of team synergy. Step 4. Create visible structures for ongoing connection. Informal collaboration does not take care of itself during transitions. You need to replace the organic connection points that change has disrupted with deliberate ones. This does not mean more meetings. It means the right touchpoints, timed well and run with clear purpose. Establish a short weekly team check-in during the transition period, 10 to 15 minutes, focused on how people are working together, not just on task progress. Create a simple, low-stakes channel for the team to share updates and ask questions horizontally, without everything routing through the new leader first. Pair team members across any new structural divisions for a short-term working partnership on a specific task to rebuild cross-functional habits. In any team meeting during the transition, build in a brief moment for people to name what is working and what needs attention in how they are collaborating. After 6 weeks, review which connection structures are genuinely useful and which can be retired. The role of communication in meeting success has strong guidance on making these regular touchpoints productive rather than performative. It is worth reading before you set up your transition check-ins. Structured connection is not a soft extra. It is a scaffolding that holds collaborative momentum in place while the team finds its new rhythm. Step 5. Address conflict before it calcifies. Transitions create friction. New power dynamics emerge. Old resentments resurface. People compete for influence under new leadership. If you ignore this friction in the hope it will resolve itself, it will harden into permanent damage to team synergy. Act early. Address tension directly and specifically before it becomes the team's new operating norm. In the first month of any transition, have individual conversations with each team member specifically about how they are finding the change. Listen for tension they may not name directly. When you detect friction between two people, do not wait for it to escalate. Meet with each of them separately first, then bring them together for a direct, structured conversation. Equip team members to raise concerns through a clear, safe channel, so issues surface to you rather than spreading sideways through the team. If conflict arises in a team meeting, address it in the moment rather than smoothing it over. Use direct, calm language. I want to pause here because I think there is something important to work through. After any visible conflict is resolved, follow up with both parties within a week to confirm the resolution has held. Here is a script for opening a conflict conversation during a transition. I have noticed some friction between you two over the last couple of weeks. I am not here to assign blame. I want to understand what is going on and work out what needs to change so you can both do your best work together. That framing is direct, respectful, and focused on the future. For more practical tools on managing tension in shared spaces, how to handle conflict during meetings is a strong companion piece to this step. And if things have already deteriorated beyond friction, the bridge method offers a structured path back to collaboration. An addressed conflict during a transition is the most reliable way to destroy team synergy for the long term. Tend to it early, and you protect everything you built in the steps before. Step 6. Build the new leader into the team's existing culture. A common mistake during leadership transitions is treating the new leader as someone the team must adapt to, rather than someone who must also adapt to the team. Real integration goes both ways. The team has norms, rhythms, and ways of working that predate the new leader. Ignoring them creates resentment. Acknowledging them earns respect. Give the new leader a structured briefing on the team's existing working culture, how decisions are actually made, what communication style the team responds to, and which dynamics to be aware of. Create early opportunities for the new leader to listen before directing. A listening tour in the first 2 weeks, where they meet each team member individually with no agenda other than understanding, sets the right tone. Encourage the new leader to acknowledge the team's history explicitly. I know you've built something strong here, and I am here to understand it before I start changing anything. Establish a feedback loop between the team and the new leader in the first 60 days, so both sides can raise what is and is not working in how they are connecting. Celebrate early wins that happen under the new leadership to begin building the new shared story. Peer feedback is a powerful tool in this phase. Peer-to-peer feedback. Strengthening team bonds covers how to make that exchange constructive and direct. When the new leader is woven into the team's existing culture rather than imposed on top of it, team synergy has the best chance of continuing to grow. Step 7. Communicate strategic change in a way the team can act on. Restructuring almost always involves strategic change, new priorities, new processes, new directions. How you communicate that change determines whether the team moves together or fragments. Most strategic change communication fails because it explains the what without giving people enough of the why, and almost none of the how as it relates to them. Before announcing any strategic change, spend time translating the organizational rationale into language that is meaningful at team level. What does this mean for how we work together? Structure your communication using a clear framework. Here is what is changing. Here is why it matters. Here is what it means for you specifically. And here is what we are doing next together. After the announcement, create a structured space for the team to respond, not a questions box, but a real conversation where concerns are heard and addressed directly. Follow up written communication with face-to-face dialogue within 48 hours. People process change through conversation, not documents. Tie the strategic change back to the shared purpose you established in step 3, so the team can see the through line between what they care about and what is being asked of them. How to communicate a strategic change to your team in a way that preserves synergy goes deeper on this process with specific scripts and structures. Use it alongside this step for maximum effect. When strategic communication is done well, the team does not just survive the change, they move through it with their collaborative momentum intact. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid teams face a specific challenge during leadership transitions. The informal connection that normally cushions disruption simply does not happen on its own. Nobody bumps into anyone in the corridor. There is no collective body language to read. Silence in a chat tool looks the same whether it signals comfort or concern. Increase your communication frequency, not just your volume. In a remote context, brief and regular contact matters far more than long, infrequent updates. A 5-minute video check-in 3 times a week builds more trust than a 40-minute all-hands once a month. Presence creates reassurance. Name the communication norms explicitly. Remote teams need to know exactly how and when they will be kept informed during a transition. Without this, people default to worst-case interpretation of silence. Set a rhythm and hold to it. Create informal digital spaces deliberately. The casual conversation that happens naturally in a shared office needs a home in a remote environment. A dedicated non-work channel, a virtual coffee pairing system, or a brief social opener at the start of team calls, these are not luxuries. They are the mechanisms through which collaborative trust is maintained. Watch for withdrawal. In a physical environment, a person going quiet is visible. In a remote team, withdrawal is easy to miss. During transitions, check in individually with anyone whose participation drops, rather than waiting for them to raise a concern. Make video the default for transition conversations. Text removes tone, nuance, and eye contact. During periods of high uncertainty, these losses matter enormously. Require video for any conversation that carries emotional weight. The core process holds for every team. In a remote or hybrid environment, the execution simply has to be more deliberate and more consistent. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: communicating the structure of the change without communicating its impact on working relationships. Why it happens. Leaders focus on the operational facts because they feel concrete and safe. What to do instead? For every structural announcement, write a parallel message that answers the question your team is actually asking. What does this mean for how I work with the people around me? The mistake: assuming the new leader will naturally build rapport with the existing team. Why it happens? It feels condescending to actively support a senior person's integration. What to do instead? Create structured early opportunities for the new leader to listen and learn, and brief them honestly on the team's existing culture before they arrive. The mistake: letting high performers carry the team's emotional load during the transition. Why it happens? Strong contributors are reliable, so leaders lean on them without meaning to. What to do instead? Spread the responsibility for maintaining team cohesion deliberately, and check in on your strongest people as often as your most struggling ones. The mistake: treating conflict during a transition as a distraction from the real work. Why it happens? There's always too much to do, and conflict feels like one more problem. What to do instead? Treat friction as a signal, not an inconvenience. Address it early. Unresolved conflict during a transition calcifies into permanent damage. The mistake: stopping deliberate team connection efforts once the initial announcement period is over. Why it happens? Leaders assume the team has adjusted and returns their attention to tasks. What to do instead? Maintain structured connection touchpoints for at least 3 months after any significant transition or restructuring. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin, and after each cycle. I have identified one person who owns the relational side of this transition. I have had honest conversations with key team members to assess where team cohesion currently stands. I have a communication plan that runs ahead of rumor and includes multiple formats. I have mapped the working relationships that carry the most collaborative weight on this team. I have held a team conversation about shared purpose that does not depend on the current leadership structure. I have created deliberate connection touchpoints to replace informal collaboration disrupted by the change. I have had individual check-in conversations with each team member about how the transition is affecting them. I have addressed any visible friction or conflict directly rather than waiting for it to resolve. I have given the new leader a clear briefing on the team's existing culture and working norms. I have communicated any strategic changes with both the what and the team level impact of the why. I have scheduled a review of these actions at the 30-day and 60-day marks. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a 7-step process for protecting and sustaining team synergy through leadership transitions and restructuring. That is not a small thing. Most teams lose collaborative momentum during change, because nobody took deliberate responsibility for preventing it. Communicate early and honestly, before uncertainty fills the space with something worse. Identify and protect the working relationships that are your team's invisible connective tissue. Anchor the team to a shared purpose that belongs to the group, not to any one leader. Replace disrupted informal connection with deliberate, structured touchpoints. Address friction and conflict directly, before it hardens into permanent damage. Integrate new leadership into the team's existing culture, not just on top of it. Communicate strategic change in a way that connects the organizational rationale to the team's everyday working reality. If you want to go deeper on specific parts of this process, start with how to communicate a strategic change to your team in a way that preserves synergy for a detailed look at transition communication. If things have already started to break down, how to rebuild team synergy after conflict or organizational change will give you a clear path back. And for the longer game, how leaders foster a culture of team synergy shows you how to build something resilient enough to survive the next transition. Team synergy is not a gift that some teams have and others lack. It is a practice. Tend it deliberately, and it will outlast any change your organization puts it through. Frequently asked questions. What is team synergy in the workplace? Team synergy is the combined effectiveness of a group working together, producing results that individual members could not achieve alone. It depends on trust, clear communication, and shared purpose. During leadership transitions, it is the first thing to fracture and the hardest to rebuild without deliberate effort. How do you maintain team synergy during a leadership transition? You maintain team synergy during a leadership transition by communicating early and honestly, preserving existing working relationships, and giving the team a shared focus. The new or interim leader must listen before directing. Stability comes from consistent contact and clear expectations, not from pretending nothing has changed. Why does team synergy break down during restructuring? Team synergy breaks down during restructuring because uncertainty disrupts trust and people protect themselves by pulling back from collaboration. When roles shift and reporting lines change, the informal bonds that hold a team together get severed. Without deliberate communication, silence fills with rumor and working relationships deteriorate fast. How long does it take to rebuild team synergy after change? Rebuilding team synergy after significant change typically takes 2 to 4 months of consistent, deliberate effort. The speed depends on how much trust existed before the disruption, how honestly the transition was communicated, and whether the new leadership actively invests in reconnecting the team around shared goals. What are the signs that team synergy is failing during a transition? Signs include a drop in voluntary collaboration, people working in isolation rather than checking in with colleagues, increased conflict in meetings, and a rise in miscommunication. You may also notice that decisions slow down because people are waiting for permission rather than acting from shared understanding and trust. Can team synergy survive major organizational restructuring? Yes, team synergy can survive major restructuring when communication is honest, roles are clarified quickly, and leaders actively protect existing working relationships. The teams that come through restructuring with their momentum intact are the ones where someone took responsibility for tending the human side of change, not just the operational side. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.